Good morning, Texas. This is Mike Paulson from North Dakota with your Cup of Goodness program this morning. We are going to venture into something unique and interesting today, although I'd have to say that everything we've been doing on this program since day one has been unique and interesting. Knowing what I believe the listeners to be out in the Dallas-Fort Worth area, you've got all your major churches, some of your major preachers and evangelists and Bible colleges and institutes and theological seminaries and the whole program who go against everything what I've been teaching since we first met your radio station and started this Cup of Goodness about the goodness of God, not the severity of God, not teaching Jesus' gospel to the Gentiles as supposed to be taught to the Jews. We've been teaching the gospel from the risen Christ through Paul, through a King James Bible. And you don't hear that sort of a thing anymore. It's about as rare can be, I suppose. So, let's just get into a different ball game here this morning. Because of the season coming up called Christmas, and I would imagine that listeners out there, we've got everything from those that support Christmas to those that hate Christmas. You've got those that are good gift givers. You've got those that are terrible gift givers, if they give gifts at all. We have folks out there that like to sing their Christmas music and don't like their Christmas music. I'm sure there are those out there that all sorts of things. You do Christmas trees, they don't do Christmas trees. It's just a mix. And I remember my days as a pastor, it was always the toughest time of the year because you've got people that want to do Christmas, don't want to do Christmas trees, don't want to do Christmas trees. You name the different variations and they were there. Now, I'm old enough to also realize that Christmas has changed over the years into a very materialistic holiday. But I've also taught in schools for years, and I, for one, have always appreciated the Christmas vacation we would have. But then again, I'm also a music teacher, so the Christmas program and the Christmas concert, all sorts of things. This is probably the busiest time of year. But I'm also a parent, and I've been around parents, and I come to realize also that this is probably the hardest time of the year for most people because either the kids aren't going to come back and see them or they've lost a loved one, they've got a loved one or a son or a husband or a wife or a mother or a dad or something in a war situation someplace, they're not at home. And because everybody's supposed to be just full of good tidings and joy, this is also what I know to believe as the highest percentage of suicides every year is this Christmas time. But the biggest thing is I also realize that Christmas time is so far from biblical truth that I'm not even going to get into that, at least not to this program here. I just tell people in Romans chapter 14, if you're going to do Christmas, do it to God's glory. If you're not going to, what we call, do Christmas, then do it not to God's glory. And there's some scriptures that support both sides, and we'll maybe talk about it someday, I don't know. But let's just throw that all aside this morning. And this is a Christmassy subject, but it's also an Easterly subject. And it's also a subject where it's not even presented, and it should. And it's called Messiah. It's the oratorio, it's called. It's by George Frederick Handel, or Handel. Now, if you're a classical music lover, you will understand what I'm talking about somewhat, and you are probably well aware of Messiah. The oratorio, George Friedrich Handel. We're going to talk about this thing called Messiah. Now, you're probably thinking, why doesn't he say the word the Messiah? Because technically, Handel called it Messiah. And if you've heard the Hallelujah Chorus, we all call it the Hallelujah Chorus, but technically, Handel calls it Hallelujah Chorus. He doesn't say it's the Messiah. He doesn't call it the Hallelujah Chorus. It's Messiah and it's Hallelujah Chorus. Well, if you don't know what I'm talking about, you're probably not going to enjoy this particular program, I suppose. If you know what I'm talking about, you might already know the material I'm going to talk about here, but we're going to go over this stuff anyway. And if you know what I'm talking about, but you don't know all the details, you'll probably find this program very interesting today, possibly tomorrow. Who knows how long this will take? You know me by now. So this Messiah, I have the score, and the score is all the orchestra parts, all the vocal parts, all the violins, violas, cellos, bass fiddle, soprano, alto, tenor, bass, trumpets, violins, timpani, percussion, harp, all the music in one book. That's called a score. And I have this score here for me, and in this particular case, because I'm sure the notes are a little smaller than usual, this is a 210-page score. Now, how long would it take you to take out some music paper and rewrite every part, every nuance, every bit of theoretical notation here to rewrite this by hand, this particular oratorio, 210 pages or so? That would take us a long time. And then let's say you've got this thing written down in a score format, but now you have to write out all the individual flute parts for all the flute players you have. Then you've got to write out all the trumpet parts, all the vocal parts, soprano, alto, tenor, bass, probably contralto and all that sort of a thing. Trumpet parts, brass, woodwinds, strings, the whole thing. Write all their parts and finally hand it out to everybody. And then a couple days into rehearsal, somebody says, "You know, I lost my trumpet part. Do you have another one?" "Well, no, I don't, matter of fact. I have to go write another one. I couldn't go to a copy machine and just print it off for you. It's just not that easy, Frank. So could you take better care of your music, please?" Okay. If you can imagine that, what I just described to you, and then realize this, that Handel wrote this whole entire thing in 24 days. Just in 24 days. 24 days. Now, I took Mozart's 40th Symphony, for those of you that understand Mozart and his 40th Symphony, anyway, I took the score, the orchestra score from that, and I rewrote that for piano, so it could be a piano solo. That took me a year. And unfortunately, I don't have that available. I lost it behind a bookshelf that was connected to the wall. Obviously, it wasn't connected enough, or it wouldn't have slipped behind there, and we weren't about to rip out these shelves. The landlady would not have been too thrilled, but then again, I probably should have. It was a pretty nicely written piece. But anyway, but that took me a year. So here's this guy, Handel. They didn't have pens, you know, and copiers and printers and this kind of a thing. I'm sure he had to pluck a few feathers from a few geese out there and dip this thing in ink a bunch of times. And 24 days to write this 210-page score, knowing, of course, that when he hand-wrote it, it was probably bigger, and it's probably bigger pages and that sort of a thing. Quite the project. So we're going to talk about this thing a little bit here. This is a work that in Christianity is considered probably the top work ever written, and in the world of music is considered one of the top things ever written. So you've got sacred and you've got secular. Sacred meaning religious text, secular meaning non-religious text or worldly text. So both elements of music, I guess, considers this to be one of the greatest works. So I'm able to present this and teach this in a school setting and in a church setting. Christians will like this thing, and supposedly non-Christians, from a musical standpoint, still like this thing. So I thought I would give you, boy, I say so a lot. I got to quit saying that word, so. No, I don't. We're only going to be on the air until December 23rd, and then I can say so all I want. So I guess I'll just leave it in here. So what we're going to do, say I said it again, what we're going to do here is we're going to look at Messiah. We're going to look at Hallelujah Chorus, which, by the way, was what you heard when you heard the piano when this program first started. It was Hallelujah Chorus. I'm sure I'm going to say the Messiah, the Hallelujah Chorus, a bunch of times. I'm just not used to it yet. I'm just not used to saying Messiah, Hallelujah Chorus without the word the. So here's some facts about this thing. It's going to introduce you to what this thing is all about. If you can find a performance in Dallas, Fort Worth area, I would imagine there's somebody putting on Messiah somewhere in your neck of the woods down there. And I recommend that you go to this thing. Whether you like this kind of highbrow music, as they would call it, or this classical music, as they would call it, or sacred music, as they call it, or a secular piece, I would encourage you to visit the website scatteredchristians.org. And on the search page, type in Messiah, and you'll go to a couple articles. You'll go to where I have the notes that I'm looking at today, and I've got all the scriptures listed and all the details like we're going to talk about here. But I would encourage you to go visit that site because I have all the scriptures written down in the order that they're sung. You would be able to follow through your Bible with all the scriptures this piece contains. Because, see, this is taken from a King James Bible. There are just a few verses that have been paraphrased, and there's a few times that the word God has been changed to He because of the text of the song. So what I recommend people doing is they take their King James Bible and mark all the verses. Here we are at this particular verse, and then at the end of that verse, write the word T-O, T-O, semicolon, and tell you where to go to the next verse for the next part of the song. And they're all listed in the right order on my website. So if you want to go to the program, the performance of Messiah, you can take your Bible with you, and you can follow along with the text in your Bible. Now, what you will find in this music, this was written in the time when they call it absolute music. It was written for the purity of the sound. The chords were clean. They were major chords. They had the minor sad chords, but we didn't have any of the jazz chords. We didn't have the rock beat as such and all sorts of things they didn't have. This goes back to the era where we look to that we use to judge our music today musically. So if you were to go to the concert and have your Bible open up and follow along with the performance and go to your different pages for the different verses, you would be reading Scripture, and I would say Holy Scripture, King James Bible, and you would be listening to it presented with a large choir, clean harmony, clean arrangement, and the power that music represents, and you would have an experience you would not forget. You're going to the performance of Messiah. You're going to listen to Hallelujah Chorus. You're going to listen to Worthy is the Lamb. You're going to listen to all these pieces that I think you've heard, especially over the Christmas season. And you're going to hear them sung, and you're going to read them in your Bible. And yes, I can pretty much guarantee that you will have a musical experience you will never forget. So let's talk about this thing a little bit more in order here now. This Messiah, it's an oratorio. And an oratorio is a musical work or a musical composition that's written for voices and orchestra. An oratorio tells a sacred religious, a sacred story, but it does not have costumes, it does not have scenery, doesn't have any acting or dramatic action. There's a couple other oratorios that are quite famous and quite large. Judas Maccabeus, again written by Handel. Joseph Haydn, he wrote one called The Creation. Goes back to Genesis 1 through the creation. Quite a powerful work. Felix Mendelssohn wrote an oratorio called Elijah. In 1741, Handel, at the peak, when he was the best of his musical skill, his musical awareness, his musical talent, but he was also very depressed and he was in debt. And this Charles Jennens pastor came to Handel and said, "You know, Handel, I hear some verses I want you to put to music." And so Handel did just that. Now, we'll go over those scriptures later on, either this program or in tomorrow's program, and you'll see the powerful scriptures that Charles Jennens had requested to be used. Now, when you hear Messiah, you'll think of George Frideric Handel. Don't forget to give this pastor some credit, Pastor Charles Jennens. Because if it wasn't for Pastor Charles Jennens, Handel wouldn't have written this thing. And he wrote this thing in 24 days. Mozart, who wrote 40-plus complete symphonies, he was able to write his symphonies down while he played games and did their little lawn bowling in those days, and he never erased any of his notes. He never had to correct or rewrite any of his notes. He had all of the creation in his mind of all the things that he was writing and composing, and then he would just sit down at the desk, sit down at a table in a restaurant or an activity area, and he would just write out his parts. That is mind-boggling to try to see how these guys wrote the way they did. You've got Handel, you've got Mendelssohn, Haydn, Bach, Beethoven, Wagner, Dvorak, all sorts of composers that not only did they magnificent works played, but they wrote them before this kind of music was ever written or prepared or created or put together, and was writing it down in a fashion that had barely ever been done before this. It's quite a time. It's the era called the classical era. You've got Baroque, you've got classical, you've got romantic, where Beethoven steps into the picture, then you've got modern, and then you've got what many call the devilish, or they call it demonic era. And before all of these ages got together and got started up here, there was the Dark Ages, then you had the Renaissance, which came before the Baroque. Like I've taught in my music classes here, this music came from Japheth, which was one of Noah's sons, and the African music came from Ham, which was one of Noah's three sons, and the Oriental music came from Shem, which was one of three of Noah's sons. And it's the music, it's the history of Japheth that this particular piece came up with, and Judas Maccabeus, and their creation, and Elijah, and all these things that these guys had written. Okay, let's look at some more facts here. This was composed in the summer of 1741, and it was first performed in Dublin on the 13th of April, 1742. This is to be considered one of the greatest works of Handel's ever written, and in many cases, this is considered the greatest work ever written, period. And they say the most popular work written in Western choral literature. Now, we're not talking about country, Western horses and Western ranches and cowboys, that sort of a thing. This is the Western civilization, the Western culture, Europe on over. They consider this to be the greatest work written for sacred and or secular. It's an amazing thing, and you study this thing, and you look at the verses, and you look it up in your Bible, and you start to say, like I call it, an experience that you wouldn't normally get. Now, I'm not able to play much, if any, of this because of, you know, copyright issues as such. What I played on the piano, I don't copyright my music, so there it was. Best I could do on that thing, that Hallelujah chorus is a tough thing to play, so that's the best I can do. But I would encourage you to not only go out and buy a score, get the complete score if you can read music at all, and to get it from DoverPublications.com. It's not that expensive. And to get yourself a King James Bible, because chances are the folks on this station, you don't have a King James Bible. And get yourself a King James Bible, and then go get yourself a CD set or a Blu-ray set or whatever they call them nowadays, and get yourself a complete recording of Messiah. I encourage you to go through London Symphony or the Chicago Symphony, some major symphonic work, not some up-to-date, modern keyboard player who can put it together on a keyboard, some digital thing. Get the live performance. If you're one of those kind of people that needs to see what's going on during one of these things, and get on YouTube and look up Messiah and, Andre Rieu or something like that. Find somebody out there that's playing different pieces from this Messiah and watch them play and notice the atmosphere, notice the surroundings, notice the places they're playing, notice the instruments they use, notice how they perform this stuff. Notice the stuff that goes on, and then notice the scriptures that they use, and then notice the purity of the music. I know, it's one of those things where ladies sing super high, men have got this powerful tenor bass voice, and people kind of laugh at stuff like that, but there's a reason for that type of singing. Extremely difficult and extremely powerful what they're doing. I personally don't like the high ladies singing high, but I love the men just bellowing out their songs. Each to their own. I love to watch the orchestra. I know the music, I know the chords, I know the harmonies, I know the melody lines, I know the words that go along to this thing. I've followed it along before in my Bible, and it's just an absolute amazing thing. Now, you still may not know what I'm talking about, so we'll get into that. We've got a few more minutes here. Let's look at some of this stuff that takes place in this thing, what this thing is all about. So anyway, get yourself a video copy or watch this thing and listen to it. And because I'm not going to be able to play much of it on the radio itself because of copyright issues, I'm sure. So let's look at this thing here. Let's see here. This Messiah, obviously, is a testimony of who? Yeah, Jesus Christ. So the name of this thing is taken from what they call Judaism and Christianity's concept of the Messiah. That's how they look at it. This is what the Jews, who don't think much of Christ, if you know what I mean, and Christianity's teachings from the Bible. And they get their scripture, the text for this thing, otherwise known as the libretto, is taken from a King James Bible. Yes, it is. If you can find a Messiah with a text from a modern Bible, you'll find a work that's probably been tweaked musically too, and it just isn't the same thing. You just can't change the words. It just can't do it. And I'll show you some illustrations as we go over the next couple of programs here. Now, like I say, this is a 220-page work, the way it's printed out here. It comes in three parts. You've got part one, which is about the birth of Christ and what people call the Christmas stories. And this is why Messiah is presented this time of year during Christmas, because the first third of this is about the prophecy. It's the Old Testament prophecy of Jesus being born. It's about his birth, and then it's about his life in the Gospels. Okay? And that's what it's all about. So you'll hear it during Christmas time every year somewhere. Part two talks about Christ's crucifixion and his resurrection and the evangelization of the world with a Christian message, as this is how they say that. But you got to keep in mind, again, this is gospel-oriented. But does it stop there? No, it doesn't stop there. Part two, you'll hear it during Easter, because it deals with his crucifixion and it deals with the resurrection. See, everybody believes that Jesus Christ died, was buried, and rose again. But for some reason, people don't want to hear about the goodness of God, which is done through Paul, through a written King James Bible, because it's about the risen Savior. So see, Messiah, this oratorio, has a part three. And you don't hear this hardly ever. You don't hear this talked about very much, but it's about the risen Savior. And yes, it even deals with the rapture. So you're not going to find part three done in many of these Protestant or Catholic religious liturgical type churches. You're not going to hear much of this done in the normal little Bible church, because the music is usually too hard to perform it. Or it takes, you have to have a study, you have to have an education about this type of music and this particular piece of music. But scripturally, it's King James. Pastor was Charles Jennens. The composer was George Frederick Handel. It was first written in 1741, and it was first performed in April 1742. Three parts. One is his birth. Part two is his death and resurrection. Part three is as he has risen. So we will leave it there, and I will talk more about it tomorrow. And I'll give you some illustrations and some examples. I would recommend you get on YouTube and you find, you're going to have to type in the Messiah or the Hallelujah Chorus and get a hold of this stuff. And we'll give you some more information about it. We'll talk about it some more tomorrow morning.